Hello, church family. It's good to meet with you again. Have a question for you, and that is, do you like it when someone tries to change you? Do you like it when someone tries to change you? So that's kind of setting up today. You can be thinking about that. And I want you to discuss that in your micro churches, your small groups, however it is you're meeting. I want you to discuss that. And then if you're not already meeting, please, please reach out to the church. Send us an email, call, get on the website. That's the right way to do it. Get on the website, bbclife.org, and sign up for a group. We want everyone in groups, and we want these groups functioning as micro churches. And if you wonder what you're going to do, you can discuss the scripture and what we're talking about today, and we can help you with that. So please get in a group if you're not already in a group, or start a group if you feel like God's leading you to do that. Also, this week on the weekly announcements that were emailed out on Friday, there was a survey. And I'm asking everyone in your house to complete the survey. Whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whatever it is, please go online and fill out that survey, and you can get to that link through the weekly announcements. We may post it up on the Facebook as well as the website too a little bit later on. And so the question again was, do you like it when someone tries to change you? Another question today is, how do you become an effective witness? How do you become an effective witness for Jesus? And the question is there a class for that? And over my lifetime, I've actually taken many classes on being an evangelist, or evangelism classes. I've actually taught many evangelism classes. Things like Evangelism Explosion, Faith, Got Jesus, Share Jesus Without Fear, all of these types of things. My favorite, there's nothing wrong with those. Maybe you've taken some. They do give us some tools and scriptures to use, but they're kind of inadequate. My favorite is the three circles. But what we're talking about today is not necessarily about evangelism. There's a small element of that, but that is not what we're talking about. We are talking about the fact that most people don't want you to try to change them. And so what can we do? See, the truth is you can't change people. I can't change people. I can barely change myself. You can barely change yourself. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can change people. And so Jesus didn't tell us to evangelize. He told us to be witnesses, to be disciples who are witnesses of what He is doing in our lives. That's what He's told us to do. And as we are disciples who are witnesses of what He is doing in our lives, that's when He gives us opportunities to see people converted. Jesus did not tell us to evangelize or to change people. He said to be disciples who make disciples, to be His witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we've looked at it last week. It says, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What Jesus said is actually going to take place and come true in Acts chapter 2. And so that's where we are today, Acts chapter 2, and we're picking up on where we left off last week. If you'll remember, last week, what happened was the Holy Spirit came and on the believers who were there. They were gathered together waiting because Jesus told them to wait. They were actually there. They're waiting. The Holy Spirit comes upon them with a loud sound. It sounded like a rushing wind. And then a visual representation of fire that looked like tongues came, separated, and went to each person. And so there was this, the Holy Spirit did a work in the disciples' lives. And that's key. The Holy Spirit did a work in their lives. And what we're going to see today is that there are many principles that play out in this passage that are required to be an effective witness, to be an effective disciple, someone who actually follows Christ, who's on fire, and who wants to witness to others. And the first thing, the key thing, is that the Holy Spirit must be at work. And that's what we see here. And so the question I would ask you today, and you can talk about this in your groups, is how is the Holy Spirit at work in your life? And I mean personally. I don't mean this global answer, well, you know, He opens up scriptures to mind. Well, which specific scripture? How is it that He has convicted you of your sin? How is it that He's shown you a new way to go, something different? How is it that He's working specifically in your life? That is the key to being a disciple and effective witness for Jesus. Secondly, I want you to know that the people noticed what was happening. So there was a loud sound, there was this the tongues, the disciples, the Christ followers, they were speaking, they were to everyone, and everyone heard in their own language, and there were several different languages represented. And so as the disciples spoke in one language, everyone heard it in their own ear, and so there's many tongues, and it was a miracle, I believe, of speech. The crowd gathered, they were amazed, it says they were perplexed, and they asked, what did it mean? What did it mean? And then there were some scoffers in the group, some people that wanted to laugh and say, oh, these guys are drunk, they've been drinking too much wine, that sort of thing. The question here is, who has seen the Holy Spirit working in your life? Who has seen the Holy Spirit working in your life? Because we're to be witnesses, and God's working in our lives to work through us to be a witness to others. And so if we keep it all inside, and no one gets to see it, if we say it's just between me and God, no one gets to see it, then that's going to rob us of our witness, and it's going to rob someone else of the blessing of getting to see how God can work in people's lives. And that's where we're going to pick up today. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2. The whole section is verses 14 through 41. We don't have time to read that today, so I've picked some select passages to point out, and you can read it in its entirety if you want. So verse number 14 through 16, Scripture says that Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. He says, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, no, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. Well, in Joel chapter 2, Joel was a prophet in the Old Testament. It's a book about locusts and the judgment of God. But in that chapter, Joel said that in the last days that God was going to pour out His Spirit on men and women, and that they would all prophesy. And prophesy means to speak under the power of the Holy Spirit. It means to be influenced by the divine. And so they would prophesy or be witnesses to what God was doing. That was their job. That's what would happen. That's what Joel's saying. And then he said this, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's in Joel chapter 2. And Peter stands up and he says, listen guys, we're not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied. This is what he said would happen. That is, God is pouring out His Holy Spirit on all of us, and we're prophesying. We're telling you the wonders of God in Jesus Christ. And so the point here is that Peter used the attention that he received and that the disciples received to share about his experience with Jesus. He used the attention that was received. And that's the same thing Jesus did. Jesus would do a miracle, crowds would come, and Jesus did the miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then people would come and find out what's going on. They were curious, and then Jesus would teach them about the kingdom of God. And so it's the same thing that Jesus did. It's the same thing how the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles and the disciples. It's the same way He wants to work through us. So Peter recognized that the Holy Spirit was working in his life, and he explained that that was a gift from Jesus. Then in verses 22 through 24, he goes on to explain that Jesus to everyone. He says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, nailed him with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Then Peter goes on to say in verses 32 and 33, God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured it out on what you now see and hear. And so Peter is saying, listen, this is what God is doing. You see the Spirit working in us. We recognize the Spirit working in us, and they're using that as an opportunity to share the power of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. The question here is have you told anyone about what Jesus is doing in your life through the Holy Spirit? Have you told anyone? Because I believe God, the Holy Spirit in God's working in our lives daily. He's convicting of us of sin. He's laying people on our heart. He's directing our path. All sorts of things. And many times we don't recognize it because maybe we're too busy. Maybe there's things going on in our life that we're just putting God over in the corner. Maybe our God thing is just a Sunday thing. And during the week, we just kind of lose track. And so God wants you to recognize the power of Jesus working through the Holy Spirit in your lives and to share that with others. So who in your life are you sharing what Jesus is doing? And so the fourth thing is that some people believed the message. The Holy Spirit was not only working in the believers, but he was also working in non-believers. They received the message. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit about what they had done. That's verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? You see, there's this great conviction. Anytime there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit, if you've done something wrong and you felt bad about it, and you know that was God making you say, hey, you need to repent of that, that is the Holy Spirit working in your life. And he doesn't do that to condemn you. He does that to set you free so that you can repent of that, so that you can be set free and enjoy his freedom. And that is a powerful thing that can be celebrated with other people. And so they were here. They were convicted. They were cut to the heart. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? And I want to say this. They believed the witness of Peter and the others. They believed that. One, because they saw the effects of the Holy Spirit. Two, because they heard the message of Jesus through Peter. And three, because the Holy Spirit convicted them of sin. Now, these people, they were God-fearing Jews. And I do want to point this out. This is the first time the Holy Spirit's coming. He's coming in Jerusalem to God-fearing Jews. And the God-fearing Jews had a context for believing in Christ. They had been taught about the Christ, the coming Messiah, the one who was to deliver them. They've been taught about this their whole lives. And so they kind of had a context for this. But when you and I, when we share things with people, we need to take some time. Most people need to be discipled over time until they come to a place of repentance. And so, because when I read this, I'm like, I have never preached and 3,000 people stand up and get saved. That is just not, that has not happened. Well, it's probably not going to happen. And so, but how is it that we're witnesses? You say, well, I can't do what Peter did. We're probably not going to have that opportunity. But the opportunity we do have is to disciple people over time. I call this a discipling relationship, to enter discipling relationships with people where you both grow together using what the Holy Spirit is currently showing you and doing in your lives and showing you in the Scriptures. And so when you take what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, you take what He's showing you in Scripture, and you're sharing that with someone else on a regular basis, that's a discipling relationship. And if you're taking someone, even an unbeliever, and they're willing to engage with you in that kind of conversation, then what's going to happen is they're going to begin to grow. And the Holy Spirit's going to begin to convict them. And then over time, they're going to come to a place where they're ready to surrender. See, I believe today that people must be discipled to Jesus. They have to be discipled because they don't have the context that we read about here in the Scriptures where the Jews had this pre-context. Eventually, the Holy Spirit's going to work in you. It's going to work He's going to work in them, and they're going to come to a place of belief and surrender. And that's what happened here. That's what happened right here in the Scriptures. And so here's some questions for you to ask. Who in your life is becoming spiritually open? Who in your life is becoming spiritually open? And then how do you know that? And why? Why do you know that? Or why do you think that is? Who in your life is becoming spiritually open? And how do you know that? Secondly, what could you do to find someone who is spiritually open? Now I want to give you a hint here. The hint here is to get to know people and ask lots of questions. Get to know people and ask lots of questions. The third question here is that you can talk about is this. How could you develop a discipling relationship with that person? And I want to give you a hint here too. Set a date. Set a date. Call them. Set a date. Say, hey, let's meet. And here's the way you do it. You ask them what God's been doing in their life or what Jesus has been doing in their life. You share what's going on in your life and you just see what they do with that. They may turn and run. They may say, wow, tell me more. And that's where you get to ask them questions. They may tell you something and you just ask them questions and see what's going on. So the fifth principle here is that Peter called them to repentance and baptism. But that was only after they were ready. He didn't lead with that. He wasn't trying to evangelize them. He's trying to be a witness, and then God did what God does through the Holy Spirit to put them in a position to be ready. And again, that may take us some time with people today, but here it happened instantly. Verses 38 and 40, it says this, Peter replied, because they asked, what should we do? Here's what he said, repent, because they believed the message. Okay, they first believed. They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. He says, now repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he says, because you've believed, because the Holy Spirit's convicted you, when you repent and are baptized, the Holy Spirit's going to come into you, and you're going to be just like we are. That's what he's saying here. It's phenomenal. Now, I'm not getting into the baptism thing. I believe that in the New Testament, that baptism was the profession of faith, okay? It is that the way you tell people that you are a believer is you don't walk down an aisle and tell the preacher that you're saved. No, you go get baptized. And so that's all considered one deal there. So the question here, though, is what is the promise Peter's speaking about, okay? And so I'm going to keep reading in verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So Peter's talking about a promise. Jesus was talking about a promise. The promise is being received here. What promise? He says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. What is the promise he's talking about? And then, for who is the promise? Who's it for? Who's the promise for? And lastly, the result of this is phenomenal. The result of what the Holy Spirit has done, verse 41, it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Because they let the Holy Spirit work. They talked about what God was doing in their life. They pointed to Jesus, and they waited for the person to be ready. And that's when they led them in what Christ says is to be repent, to believe, repent, to be baptized. And so the question here is, have you received the promise? Have you received the promise, and how do you know? How do you know you've received the promise? And remember the questions we asked earlier. Can people see that promise working in your life? The main point is this. I've waited till now to share the main point, and it's this. The Holy Spirit is the power that makes being a witness possible. The Holy Spirit is the power that makes being a witness possible. It's not the program. It's not the preacher. It's not some good tool I give you. It is the Holy Spirit as He's working in and through you and as He's working in others. You see, the reason this is important is because of this. If we don't recognize the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives, we have nothing to talk about. I can tell people about when I got saved when I was 8 years old, how there was some confusion and I was baptized a little bit again later, but that was really my first baptism because the first one didn't. I can explain all that, but I don't have anything to talk about right now. And see, people don't want you to try to change them. They do want to hear what's going on in your life. And that, when they hear about what's going on in your life, that's what gives them hope. That's what makes them want to change. That is letting God shine His light through you. When the Holy Spirit works in you, He motivates you to share. Because when God shows up, the power shows up. And that excites you. That gives you something fresh to talk about, a new song to sing. And God puts people in your way that needs to hear exactly that message of what Jesus is currently doing in your life. It's your daily experience with the Holy Spirit conviction that people want to see, that they want to hear about, and what makes them want to know your Jesus. It is your changed life that gives others hope. Because if Jesus can change you, He can change them. If He can change me, He can change anybody. So I'm going to leave you with these questions and then we'll pray. There's several of them. We'll post these out. But the question is, and I want you to discuss this with your group, what is your next step? We've outlined several steps here. What is your next step? Maybe it's to believe. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your life and you know that you've never surrendered your life. But now, the Holy Spirit's opened your eyes up and you want Christ. You want to know this power that God speaks about. You want to know this forgiveness of sin. You want to know this new life that the Holy Spirit allows. Then if you're ready for that, then take that next step. Repent. You believe, repent of your sin and be baptized. Be baptized. Secondly, maybe it is to repent, or it is to be baptized. I know many people right now, before this COVID thing hit, you were ready to be baptized. We're ready to baptize you. And maybe you believe, you know the Holy Spirit's working in your life, you see Him working in your life, you've repented of your sins, but you've never been baptized. You need to let us know, because Christ wants us to be baptized. He wants you. Maybe your next step is to recognize what the Holy Spirit's doing. Maybe you go through your whole day and never realize that God's intervening and working. But He is. He's intervening and working. And we can celebrate that. And maybe God seems distant to you right now. I want to tell you, the promise is for those who are far. Because while you may feel far from God, He's not far from you. He says if you seek Him, if you knock, you will find. He will open the door. Maybe it's to identify spiritually open people. You know, a lot of times, our Christianity is all about us, but we know we ought to witness, but to who? Maybe your next step is to identify someone who's discipleable in your life. And then this. Maybe your next step is to set a date with someone you know, and share with them what Jesus is doing in your life. Just share what He's be a witness to Him. Whatever your next step is, I pray that you would take it. I hope that you will. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, just thank You for the Spirit, Your Holy Spirit working in our lives and bearing testimony about Jesus and His power and who He is and who You are. And Lord, I just ask that You would help all of us to take our next step. Lord, to surrender to You, to sense Your presence, to see Your work in our lives, to celebrate that. Lord, not just ourselves, but to celebrate it with others. And we thank You for the power to be Your witnesses. And I pray, Lord, that we would do that. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week.